I'd like to remind everyone today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. You may begin.
Thank you, Jeff. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to everyone. On today's JAS call on Friday, the 5th of August, we have Carlton Samuels, Cheryl Langdon-Orr, Alex Gakuru, Boudouin Chombé, Eric Brunner-Williams, Aubrey Doria, Elaine Pries, Alan Greenberg. From staff, we have Carla Valente, Wendy Prophet, and myself, Seth Green, sorry, and myself, Gisela Gruber. We have apologies today noted from Olivier Crépin-Leblanc and Carlos Aguirre. If I could please, and Tijani Benjamin, if I could please remind everyone to state their names when speaking for transcript purposes. Also, Sébastien Bachelet is about to join us. Thank you. Over to you, Carlton.
Thank you, Gisela. Good day, good morning, good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to this JAS call for today, Friday, 5th August. Glad to have you all on. If you are part of the Adobe Connect room, you will see the agenda we're proposing on the bottom left-hand corner. It's a fairly straightforward agenda. You would have seen on the list discussions about what we intend to do. The objective of these last few calls is to lock down the content for the final report. And so we are going to focus laser-like on the report sections that are listed there to ensure that everyone is happy, okay, or more so than not with the content and the context, especially, in which the content is placed. The reminder is up there for the SOIs. If you still need to send in your SOI, please do so to the staff and copy to us, co-chairs, and ensure that that is done in too short a time. The first item is the reactions to public comments from the second milestone report. You would have seen the summary that was put together by staff. Thank you so much, Carla, for leading that. It helped significantly. The summary kind of bring together all the comments under the areas that that they were made. And the question for me bringing it here is to ask you if there's anything material in those comments that you think would be useful for addition to the final report. Eric has his hand up. Eric, you have the floor, sir.
Thank you, Carlton. I have a question actually before the topic, which is about the agenda. Was the agenda sent to the mailing list prior to being in?
Yes, Eric, yes.
When was it sent?
3 days ago.
Thank you very much.
As a matter of fact, it was telegraphed more than a week ago. This is what we were going to do. We do not believe that there's anything material, I say material, from the public comments that would change anything in our final report. Well, that's good to know. The comments are there, the final report is there. You will have one other bite of the apple probably towards the end of the month to do that. So I would encourage members to have a look at the summary of the final report and make your suggestions for a change in content. The other issue is you would have seen the joint ALAC-GAC commentary. That would not have been in the report that was posted, the summary that was posted to the list by staff. For those of you who have seen it, I would urge you to have a look and also make the same judgment as to whether or not you think there's anything that would have you change anything in our final report. The second thing we want to deal with and is the issue of the terminology. For the members who have not seen it yet, we have decided to lock the terms. It's important to lock terms so that we all have a common understanding. Just to let you know, it's not that I disagree so much with your choice of terms for the fund, ICANN fund. I was just following on one of your comments that you could have multiple funds that is managed by ICANN, and I just thought the word generic ICANN fund would be common, and so if we had a name, especially for the report, that explicitly recognize or explicitly identify the fund we're talking about, I thought the GTLD support fund would be best at this stage. Avery, you have a response. Thanks.
Yeah. I think that there's a possible problem, and so I'm really raising more than anything else a warning flag. And this comes, even though I am participating at the moment from my perspective as an at-large, I'm thinking back to when I was participating as a GNSO member. Mm. And the GNSO, one of the issues that they had was that we, as one small particular group, would decide or would be making recommendations on all money. And therefore, and I don't think I was actually ever suggesting that there would be multiple funds. I have no notion. But within the thing that I had represented was that we recommend to the board that they get on the stick and put together a cross community working group, which of course will give GNSO a stomach pains at that point anyway, but a cross community group to figure out how to deal with the whole notion of funds, including the first specific application being this one. Now, I don't really care if you decide to call it something else. What I'm requesting is that if you call it something else, we put in a footnote that basically acknowledges that we are recommending only the piece that we care about, but we're recommending that the board do the right thing and get this thing done in such a way that the community has buy-in, et cetera, et cetera. Because I don't want us to be recommending something that excludes use of auction funds, but if we include use of auction funds and say that it is directed only to GTLD, what are we calling them, qualified
support
applicants,
mm-hmm.
Then I'm just raising a flag that could cause us one of those waste of time, nasty loops saying, but you guys are presuming too much, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So that's really my warning. Call it the blue team for all I care. But just make an indication that if we are putting the word GTLD qualified applicants in it, that we understand that there are other concerns with the use of these monies and that it's up to the board to figure out the right thing to do with the help of the wider community. You know, whatever nice language we put in to say, yeah, we know it's not just us.
Okay. Thank you, Avery. So noted. I accept that we can put the – remember, this is just a recommendation for this report. As you say, we put it in, we qualify it with the statement that you have outlined for us. It would be good for you to take a stab at putting the statement together.
I think my email might already be the stab.
I was about to tell you that I would suggest that we just lift the content from the email and we can, you know, do a little wordsmith with that and get it done. Alan, you have the floor, sir.
Thank you. In reaction to the comment Eric made before about the dot brand, I just took a look at the IPC comment on it, and I, in fact, think that has merit. what I think they're saying is that an applicant shouldn't be excluded purely because the TLD they're looking at happens to be a trademark. A dot brand, the way we've been using dot brand generically over the last year or so, has not been that, but the words in our report imply that simply being a trademark is enough to exclude it. So I think we may need a minor change in the words. I'm finished at this point. What they're saying is just because it happens to be a trademark should not exclude it. Being used in the sense that we have talked about as a dot brand that is being solely used as an advertising or a mechanism for furthering their commercial purposes, should not is something we don't want. On the other hand, it could be a not-for-profit trademark. And I think we may need some refinement of the words. I'd like to hear what Avery has to say, though.
I'd like to speak to this as well, but I'm locked out of Adobe.
Eric, can you wait until Cheryl comes in here, and then you're on next, and then I'll have Avery respond.
I can't see Adobe. Could somebody turn on Adobe for me, please?
Me too, please.
Oh, hi, Lane.
Hi, me too.
It's Andrew. Me too, please.
Yeah, there's a bunch of people who'd like to get in.
Wonderful. Because I only have 6 participants and Adobe.
Yeah.
But while they wait, Cheryl, would you like to speak, please? Go ahead.
Be delighted to speak. Thank you, Carlton. Cheryl Langdon-Orr for the transcript record. I think the point that Alan has just honed in on, and I suspect Eric was raising for the particular purpose, is something that does need a little bit of expansion if we can find a few more minutes in today's agenda to at least air it and then take it to list. That would be a very good thing indeed. I do see there's a vast difference between something that could be a trademark. Just in my country, there's 42 classes of them, and would not be in anyone's definition a big brand.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we maybe need to tease that out a little bit because it may be one of those be careful what we wish for because we may just get it issues. So. If we can't deal with it, and I don't think we can because of the number of people on the call, we certainly need to flag it as an issue that needs to be clearly worked through and delineated in the wider community. I mean, if it's dot insert huge multinational corporation, that's a no-brainer. I hope it's a no-brainer for this work group. If we insert I'm well known in my region or sub-region, that's probably pretty close to a no-brainer as well. If it's I actually do have a registered trademark in whatever class, and as I said, even in Australia, there's 42 classes, so it could be a multiple use issue. I think we're getting close to needing to look at our definitions a bit more carefully, and that's not with withholding any reference to purely not-for-profits or non-commercial entities. So I fearfully say maybe we actually need some legal definitional advice on that. Thank you.
Thank you, Cheryl. Just to note, Carla is saying that she sees no standing request for Adobe, nobody knocking on the Adobe door, but folks are saying that they're trying to get in and are being locked out. So I'm not sure what's happening.
Yeah, I'm not sure what's happening either.
Typically, reloading the page will fix
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Thank you, Alan. So I'm suggesting if you heard Alan's suggestion, reload the page and try again. Let's see what happens.
I just reloaded and it Carlton, I just reloaded and nothing happened.
Try another time, would you?
Typically, reloading and then requesting connection again will work, but I don't know what's happening this time.
I am not sure anyway, but let's see if we can get it sorted out. In the meantime, Eric, you have the floor.
Thank you. I've killed my connection, so I'll try again with the Adobe later. It's odd that it happened as soon as I asked about the agenda, but nevertheless. A year ago, someone from the intellectual property constituency gave me a heads up that someone would be applying for .hopi. So I looked into it, and of course, the Hopi tribal government is not the trademark holder. So the point is that there may be trademarks which are identical to the identifications of communities, but which are held by parties other than those communities. So the suggestion that all applications which contain a brand or which are colorably close to a brand should be allowed if the brand is somehow identified with something other than a huge multinational seems to be fraught with danger. It's basically a endorsement for support, that is, for ICANN money to be paid to intellectual property holders who are not intending to serve any entity other than themselves with very precious support money and non-support money, or, you know, support in kind, for the purposes of brand promotion, which isn't necessarily the promotion of a community which has the same name but does not hold the brand itself as a matter of law. Thank you very much.
Just can I get a clarification? Eric, you're saying you're not opposed to having those names that what might appear to be a brand but actually represent a community disqualified automatically. You're saying that you should look a little bit further under the covers. Is that what you're saying?
Let us take the Hopi example. If the Hopi Indian tribal government is the applicant, then they meet the community definition. They meet the social group definition. They meet the linguistic and cultural definition. They meet the ethnic definition. And they may meet the economically less developed economy definition. If, however, it's some third party which holds a trademark in some arbitrary jurisdiction for the string H-O-P-I, they don't necessarily meet any of those qualifications. So if we look at the applicant as being made by a community or meeting any of the other criteria except the trademark criteria, and it passes for any of those reasons, then the applicant meets the criteria that we have discussed for more than a year. If the only claim that the applicant has is that their string happens to be that the same as a group which could meet the criteria if that community were the applicant, but they are not, then it should not automatically pass the criteria by this gaming of the criteria, by using a string which happens to be the same string as a possible applicant could make, but has not made. Thank you.
Thank you, Eric. That clears it up. Thank you for that. I'm sure that others will have things to say about that. I see Avery, Alan, and Alex. Avery, you have the floor, and we have to run quickly with this one.
Okay. Just to say that I am extremely strongly against making any special statements that advantage trademark holders in any way. I'm sure even in the 42 classes that Australia has, and that's a wonderful number for a number of classes, none of them are for a top-level TLD. And so I think that it is irrelevant. I think that we should not be making allowances for trademarks. I think we should stick to the language of saying no dot for brand applications are qualified for any help. I think people going around owning names and then trying to get TLDs in the names that they allegedly own, even though they're for classes that have nothing to do with it, would only be relevant in a dot brand, and it's something we should stay completely away from and make no positive allowances for. Thank you.
Thank you, Avery. So can I just ask one clarifying question? So you are saying you would support Eric's construct as explained and understood?
I think Eric's construct is too generous.
Okay. Thank you, Avery.
And that's
Alan, you have the next step.
Here often.
Thank you. Alan, you have the floor, sir.
Thank you. I agree completely without worrying about the subtleties as Avery is in her very last comment. I agree completely with Eric and Avery. What I was saying is an applicant should not be disadvantaged because it happens to be a trademark. And based on the reading of the IPC comments, I haven't gone back to our original report. We may have said that unintentionally. I was not saying anyone be advantaged because it's a trademark. I said we should not absolutely and categorically reject someone because it happens to be a trademark. All the other conditions still apply. I reject the concept of anything that resembles a dot brand being supported. All I'm saying is don't reject someone purely because it happens to be a trademark, as Eric points out, perhaps not even owned by them. That was the only comment I was making, not that anyone be advantaged because it happens to be a trademark. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. Just for clarification, the key response from Eric's clarification was he listed all of the other criteria that would have been satisfied, and that's where I think the clarification was extremely helpful, and I accept that. The next person, Alex, you have the floor, sir.
Thank you. I'm supporting Eric and what comments that have been stated before. Alex, for the transcript. And I just want to give an example. We have Maasai in my region, and if you check whoismaasai.com or whatever, you'll find they are not owned by Maasai. They're owned by people in America. So if Maasai now want to have their own TLD and apply as a community, and then those people probably also have a domain and they claim that's their trademark, then that would actually be disadvantaging. It would be blocking Maasai from ever owning a TLD, and people that own it are actually not even Africans. So I think it's important we do not disadvantage people on claims of somebody rushed and took somebody else's name and registered as a trademark. And there will be lots of conflict worldwide, of course. Some of them unintentional, others just deliberate. So I think that's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Alex. Point taken. Now something came up. My line is gone. Oh, it comes back. Eric, you have the floor, sir. Your hand is up.
Thank you. That was in part just to demonstrate that it was now possible. But yes, Alex, the problem of hijacking by trademark holders or reverse hijacking is a real problem, and we should not encourage it by any means. Thank you.
Thank you, Eric. All that talk that we've had in the last little while is about response from the summary of comments from the second milestone report. I hope you noticed that we've had a significant clarification that we should add to the report from this, and I think it was very useful. Can we move to the next item on the agenda? We are focusing now on the text for the final report. And you need to pay attention to the text that speaks to applicant eligibility requirements. Recall also that we have changed the terminology, and so you're going to see some changes in terminology here. However, can I have comments from the floor about this content? Do we have consensus? Oh, my screen is gone again. Sweet Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. Now it's back. Something is happening, folks. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm sorry for
that. Am I still on?
Hi. Yes, you are on, Carlton. This is Carla. I'm sorry for that. I don't see anything happening on my screen.
Yeah, I'm not sure what's going on, Carla. It just goes, it starts saying that there's nothing shared for a minute, and then it comes back. Elaine says it's back at practicing. Okay. So, I ask the question again of the group. Is everyone comfortable with the eligibility requirement section of the report? Eric, you have your hand up, sir? No?
Actually, my hand up was about the previous section. I wanted to point out that there was substantive comment that was interesting made, but it was made at Singapore, not the written public comments. Thank you.
Okay.
Carlton, this is Andrew. Is there nothing we can do for Adobe? It's making it a little bit harder for us to participate on this side, and I know that I'm not the only one who's struggling with this.
I understand, Andrew. I don't know what's happening. I don't know why you're locked out and everybody else is. We have 10 participants now, so some folks, four other persons have managed to join. I am not sure why you haven't, but you have audio, and if you need to say something, simply just shout, and I will give you an opportunity, sir.
Fair enough. Just trying not to interrupt the flow.
No. I really wish you would interrupt the floor if we need to have closure on these items, and I really need to get a sense, and the staff support people listening very carefully to any comment that might come out of this. We're really trying to get this thing locked. So no applicant eligibility requirements. There are no great issues with that. So now, there were some clarifications that were offered. There were questions about objective.
I'm sorry to interrupt, Carlton. I'm not sure if you're looking at Adobe, but we had Elaine and Alan with their hands raised.
Oh, Elaine, I'm sorry. Just came back. I was away for a minute. Yes, Elaine, you have the floor.
Thank you. This is just for my help. Since the text is not on Adobe, would you mind referencing where it is in the document? I finally found applicant eligibility requirements under 12, so maybe that would help.
Carla, would you just please put the link? It was sent out on the email list, but can we just put the link in Adobe, please?
Yeah, the link is already in Adobe. It's at the top of the notes.
Oh, yeah, it's on the top.
Right, I've got it, but I need to know where in the document what we're talking about.
We're talking about applicant eligibility requirements.
Okay, it's at the top of what?
Carla, could you go ahead and send that through the email? I'm sorry, we're still not getting any Adobe on this side.
Already doing that.
And for those who are on
Adobe. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
For those who are on Adobe.
It was already sent out on the email, but let's send it again, please.
The link is at the top of what? There's four boxes on my screen.
Note, in the note box on Adobe, Alan.
That's the fourth bullet in current status?
1, 2, 3, 4. Yes.
Thank you. Which for some reason is not clickable.
Oh, dear. Can you just look through the email and you probably see it if you have access to that?
Okay, I know how to cut and paste.
Did you want to make a substantive comment, Alan, or is it...
Well, I originally put my hand up saying, when you phrase these questions, Carlton, you asked, does anyone have any objection? That does not necessarily imply anyone has looked at it, as indicated by the next couple of comments. So careful how you ask the questions, please.
Sure, I know. I am presuming that everybody had looked at it, would have seen it, because it was the link was sent out to the... with the terms of reference to the link. So my apologies. I just
assumed. Sadly do have other lives.
Yes, I understand. That's very true.
Can you point us to exactly which part we're looking at right now? I'm sorry, that's part of the challenge. We've got a lot of volume of stuff, and trying to keep us on the same, looking at the exact same text, the exact same issue is part of the challenge, I think.
We're looking at applicant eligibility requirements, Andrew.
At the top of the page pointed to, there are three documents pointed to. A draft final report copy, and a draft
PDF.
Final report copy.
Yep.
Right? Which one are we? Which one are we referencing?
They're all the same, but three.
They're all the same. They're all the same.
Formats. Got
all
it.
The
got
same.
It.
Okay. Just different formats.
That's not obvious. Okay.
Thank you, Alan. I agree.
It really was sent out in the link. We have to assume some things. And I'm sorry if we assume too much.
No, Carlson, I think that the challenge is only that we're looking at a lot of volume of stuff, and if we've read something, we want to be able to go back to the right place in it so we can all be talking about the exact same thing. That's all.
Yes, okay.
Okay, now what page in the document are we talking about now?
Carlson, can I make a suggestion?
Who is this?
Alex.
Yes, Alex.
It would be nice if what we are going to be discussing is summarized into one document, and that's what would be scrolling at the top.
I was just going to ask staff to just cut the portion and put it in the notes section.
So that as we even go to the others, it can be one document.
I was just going to do that. Just ask, and I think Seth is taking care of it. Just cut the section and put it in the Adobe.
Or tell us what page in the PDF it's on.
Page 12.
Thank you.
Page 12, yes. Alex, you still have your hand up, sir?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll put it down now. Yeah, I'm through. Thank you.
Seth, you're getting through with cutting and pasting to the notes section?
It's blank, Carlton.
At the minute.
Yes, thanks, Carlton. Sorry, this takes 1 second, please.
Yeah, the whole document could have been put. It's a PDF, so it could have been put in Adobe.
Yep, I know that. The problem is
a link was done to do that, but it's not working so well.
It's okay. Once we have the actual PDF in the page, we can see it.
Adobe does, this particular Adobe room seems to be gremlin bound, though, so we might have to be a bit flexible.
Yes, it is, and that's why we are trying so hard, Cheryl. Thank you for noting that.
I suppose that's why you sent everybody a copy of the PDF and the agenda, though.
It actually was sent.
Carlton, to answer your question, subject to the things that are still saying subject to review and things like that, I think I basically support what's there.
Thank you, Alan. So noted. My problem is I have to move between the PDF and the Adobe Connect, and so I don't see when people are on.
Just keep the hands at the very left of the screen visible.
Yeah.
The skill one develops is after chairing a few meetings or a few groups.
Thank you, Alan. I am trying to fix my screens to do that.
Also, this is
a hint. You cannot run a meeting from a laptop.
And I am on a laptop.
Hang on.
A very large laptop, perhaps.
I think Andrew wants to say something. He agrees with Alan's point, and he needs to get in line. Andrew, you have a...
No, Carlton, that was from a while ago. It was on an old window on your laptop.
Okay.
Yeah. I think you've got a bit of a lag issue there, Carlson. That does occasionally.
Yeah, this is back when Alan was making earlier comments. I was agreeing, but...
I was switching between Adobe and my PDF and as well as Skype. He was on Skype.
Carla now has her hand up.
Carla, you have your hand up.
Yes, I do. I just wanted you to know, we're not changing the pods because Adobe is reacting very strangely and we don't want still create more issues. But I copied and pasted this applicant eligibility requirements that starts on page 12 on the notes right now. So
yeah,
in addition to having that on the wiki, you also have it on the notes for the ones that are not able to access the wiki.
Thank you, Carlo.
Yeah, thank you.
Very helpful.
I wonder, Cheryl here, and it's probably almost a moot point in this part of our process, but on a number of other heavy use issues in the Adobe rooms, occasionally we just need to start fresh, or they get flaky, and I don't know why they do it, but they do. So for some of the work groups in the wonderful world of ALAC, purely ALAC, we've started limiting our Adobe rooms to specific month sets and things, not because of, you know, some only retentive habit of filing things and having stuff. It's just that occasionally rooms get flaky, and we've discovered by experience that they tend to get flaky when they've either been used a lot or had a lot of data go through them. Maybe this is happening with the JIS work group now, but hopefully,
That's true, Cheryl. We've actually experienced that, and you're quite right. Our usual response is to just recycle it. Well, as usual, you have the retention.
Since we're not trying to archive or carry our chats or anything else over from meeting to meeting, there's no reason not to to start a new one next time.
Yeah, it just doesn't seem to make any difference. You just need to, you know, clean it out, put it aside, and start fresh. Heaven only knows why.
Since the title of this one is July, it's appropriate to change it anyway.
Called software rot.
Okay. Thank you all for and apologies for this little techno stamp here.
It's a hiatus.
You heard Alan's comment and his provisos. Can we assume that this is supported by the majority?
I think it's basically
Cheryl
what was
Carlton.
In the in
which
the
is this, Carlton?
I'm sorry.
Which is the this to which you refer?
Yeah.
Applicant eligibility requirements. That content.
So all of it in its entirety.
Alan has read it, looked at it, and he said that provided we take into consideration a few small clarifications, emendations that were made, he substantially agrees with what's here. What we're doing, Andrew, is we're trying to lock the content in each area of the report for the final report. We're trying to estimate whether or not we have what kind of consensus is there. So we're going
I understand, Carlton. I was just trying to figure out how broad, what was on the table currently. That's all.
Okay. Well, by the way, what I commented on is the three ands, not the two clarification notes afterwards yet. At least not.
That's the thing.
Okay. So it's the first half of what is in the notes screen is what I commented on, just to be clear.
Alex, you have the floor, sir.
Yes, thanks, Carlton. I was suggesting that maybe as a chair you take us through the beat, and then you, once you have read the beat, you ask for opinion on that one, on maybe the position of the people, then we move to the next one. That might be easier for us to be in sync. Thanks, Carlton. Thank you.
Yes, it will, but to tell you the honest truth, Alex, I don't want to read it, because that's why it's put up there, and that's why it's put out on the email list. I really don't want to read through it like a preacher in a church.
And this is Carla Carlton. The text that you see is very much the text that was at the second milestone report, so it shouldn't be any controversy there. There was some notes that I put on the PDF, on the Word document that you will see on the right corner, but that had to do with language consistency and adding some of those terms to our glossary, which are not currently present in the glossary. so there's no really that much to see about my comments there. Other than that, as I said before, it is what it was on the second milestone report.
Thank you, Carla. It's very good to point that out, because I did mention at the top that there were some terminology changes that would be affected here, and that refers to your notes. And there was some question about whether or not you balance objective-subjective, and it might be at this point that there should be a note in that area. That said, Eric, you have the floor.
Thank you. Scrolling down about two-thirds of the way through the list, there's the reference again to, you know, my hand just got lowered by someone. I really don't think that's really good practice. But there is a reference to the least developed category list of 199 in the UN DESA list, followed by the landlocked developing countries, category 432, and the small island developing states, category 722. Mm-hmm. It's as if we never had the discussion over these in the past. Singapore is on the small island developing countries list. Switzerland is on the landlocked countries list. These are not lists that we should be citing as if they are completely useful without nuance. Thank you.
Thank you, Eric. I take what you mean, and just for clarification, Eric is saying that if you use the UN list and think it is good for everything and every occasion for all people, you might, in fact, do so with risk of disadvantaging some deserving applicants.
Carlton, it's as if the effort that I put into bringing up these issues several weeks ago never took place. There was actually no change in the text, which suggests that there was consensus, actually, that those comments were not useful or shouldn't be reflected in the current text, or that our process didn't actually incorporate some of the material that took place within the working group. One or the other, but thank you.
Thank you, Eric. It's not that it doesn't matter. It may be that it was not caught and replied. That's why we have this process, so that you can go back again and make sure that it's done. And I thank you for that. We will make note, and could you please take a note, Seth, that there would be a comment that would need to clarify the use of the UN qualifications list in the report. Cheryl, you have your hand up. You're next.
Thank you, Carlton. Cheryl Langdon, all for the transcript record. I have my hand up. I have my hand down. I've done all sorts of things. I had it up earlier, and then most of the points were being picked up by Carla. But in response to Eric, I read it slightly differently. Although I do agree with him, I find it annoying that someone with a yellow icon feels it's appropriate to lower my hand. I will lower my hand when I am damned well good and ready to cede the floor and let the chair know that I am ceding the floor.
I am sorry to hear that.
Thank you.
I am not doing it, so I'm not sure how it's been done.
You are doing it. It will have someone, either Seth, Carla, or Gisela, who has the power to do that. Now, that said, let me get back to my point. My point was, I actually read the way that the Milestone 2 report and these words were written slightly differently to how Eric has interpreted them, and I guess that is something that we need to be careful of, that if it's open to two types of interpretation, it probably should be better clarified in the final report. You see, I read it that the examples, for example, where he brought forward both, just let me use Singapore because it's in my heartland here in Asia Pacific. I very much doubt that Singapore would be suggesting they are an emerging market or nation, mm-hmm. or a country whose criteria we categorise under the world's poorer economies. They would certainly agree that they are on one or other of those lists. But I think there is an overriding suggestion in how I read what is written that it is first and most importantly, you are making a claim of financial hardship and difficulty in meeting the payment requirements, and we would suggest that your country is likely to be found on one of those lists as well. So I hear what's being said. I just think it may not be as clear cut. It might be an interpretation issue. And if I had my hand up, I would now be putting my hand down. Thank you.
Thank you, Cheryl. Well said. I agree with the way you see it. It requires clarification if it's there. And it's important the clarification. Don't make it one or the other. It's a list of requirements, and you have to drum through a lot bigger hoop to get to the end. Avery, you have your hand up. You have the floor.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks. First of all, I thank people that put my hand down for me because I'm constantly forgetting. So just so I can disagree with the previous two speakers on that one.
You can try, Avery.
I'll continue talking even though I've put my own hand down because now other people can get in line. I always saw these things very similar to you in terms of they were just enabling requirements. It wasn't that being in one of these places, because every one of these places has, you know, really rich sods and people that have all the money in the world. I don't think, that, you know, maybe there's a few of these that don't have any rich people. But most of them have people that are exploiting their other people and have oodles and oodles of money in a Swiss bank. So, maybe it's not Swiss anymore. But anyway, so I just saw these as enabling that here was a base condition that needed to be met, but it in no way qualified you. You had the rest of the sets of criteria to go through. And so, yes, Singapore might have a larger group of people that had lots and lots of money, but also if you went at all outside of, you know, the rich people places, or, you know, we're talking to the community of I don't know how many of you while you were there were reading the newspaper articles on the people that apply to be serving people in Singapore, you realized that outside of the few and the foreigners, it was not a developed place. And so I think that as a base thing, without this, you don't even start. But it isn't the full classification. I think it's reasonable to add a note sort of covering the stuff Eric said and perhaps, you know, adding in the things that I'm saying if it fits, that, you know, while this is a sine qua non, you got to have a bunch of other stuff too. Thanks.
Yep.
Thank you. Thank you, Avery. So we are just to summarize and get out of this. We are fairly on consensus about the major pieces in this content, save and except the few clarifying comments that might be required. Can we now move to financial needs? And that's just down. I'm going to ask Carla if she could just put that content in, and it's now in the notes section of Adobe. And if you scroll through your PDF, you'll get to it. It begins financial need. I'm asking the same question. Is it the sense of this group that the content that is in this area has the consensus? Cheryl, you have your hand up. You have the floor.
Thank you, Carlton. Cheryl Langdon, for the transcript record. Certainly, I mean, I'm not going to change my mind suddenly now on text I've previously agreed to. However, I did wonder if it might be worthwhile, as we have had the benefit of the call for public comment and publication of the... might I mention, for the record, landmark joint advisory committee advice to the ICANN board between two of its, vested interest in general community advisory committees, of in our final report at least recognising that these figures are... in keeping, if not nearly identical, to issues being raised independently of our work group by the GAC and the ALAC. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Cheryl. Noted for the record. It's important. I did mention that advice at the top of the hour and ask folks to look at it and see how it might impact the final report. So thanks for reminding us. And it is indeed in that spirit that I wanted our participants and our group members to take note. Avery, you have the floor.
Okay, thank you. I have a problem with the way it's written, and I totally agree with adding content based upon what Cheryl was saying. You start reading it, financial need, and the first four bullets you get are financial capability.
Yeah.
So I would recommend that the second paragraph, the demonstrate need, et cetera, paragraph, and however it gets amplified, be the first thing, and then there be a second either section or subsection underneath it that says required financial capability. So the first thing we're saying about financial need is you got to have it, and these are the kinds of things you have to produce to show it. And then we're saying, but understanding that you have financial need, you still have to have some capability, and the following must also be demonstrated. The way it's written now, you start reading financial need and says, well, that's right. I got $45,000. Yeah, I got $45,000. Yeah, I got $45,000. Oh, okay, I got financial need. And perhaps, you know, there's something in the phrasing of those four bullets of what you've got, you know, that says you must be capable of contributing at least, or, you know, or something that shows that, et cetera. So that's my point on that. Thanks.
Thank you, Avery. It makes sense to me personally. Elaine, you have your hand up. You have the floor.
So I'm looking at this sentence in the second paragraph, last sentence. As well, applicants will be requested to detail any applicable constraints on management, human resources, IT infrastructure.
Not audible.
Come again, Elena. I don't think some folks are hearing you.
Can you hear me now?
Ooh,
I am hearing you, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So last sentence in the second paragraph. As well, applicants will be requested to detail any applicable constraints on management, human resources, IT infrastructure, and the applicant's technical capabilities. I would suggest that that sentence be rewritten so that the applicant is requesting help in those areas rather than pointing out their constraints, because when they're answering the actual applicant guidebook questions, they have to personnel resourcing and proving that you have all of these capabilities is required in order to pass the application. So I think if you're pointing out all of your problems and constraints here, you're going to have a conflict later.
Okay.
I agree with the concept, but I think that sentence needs to be reworked.
Thank you. Thank you, Elaine. I appreciate it. Might I suggest that you just make a comment on the wiki and or suggest the exact wording that you think should go there? It would help significantly.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Thank you so much. Alan, you have your hand up, so you have the floor.
Thank you. I put my hand up to say what was basically said earlier. I'll say it in slightly different words. We phrased all of our qualifications as must be capable of. Anyone who's capable of paying 100% of all the costs is also capable of paying a quarter. So I think somehow we need to imply that you can put that much amount in, but you can't put much more in. And
yeah.
That's, I'm not quite sure how to phrase that, but...
Okay.
We don't want to say if you can put 45,000 in, but 48,000 isn't enough, and 49,000 or 46,000 is too much.
It's too much. Yes.
But somehow we have to get the tone there that I think we all read into that, but that's not what the words say. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. I see what you say. I hope we can do something with that in that area. If Seth, you would take note of that, it might be important for us to try to get together and do that. Eric, you have your hand up. You have the floor.
Thank you. The comment that Elaine made actually applies to the prior two sentences as well. Not that they necessarily have to be rewritten in the sense that she mentioned, but they all three sentences are within the section with a header financial need, yet none of these three sentences actually deal with financial need. They deal with other issues. So this sentence of that follows after the 1, 2, 3, 4 bullets.
To demonstrate need, applicants will be required. You're starting there.
Yeah, to demonstrate need. For whatever reason, that shouldn't be, it shouldn't be under financial need.
It's in the wrong place. I tend to agree with you.
Thank you.
Thank you for that. I tend to agree. Just to let you know, we are at the top of the hour. We started a little early, so I'm going to go on for another 6 minutes or so. Are there any other comments in this area? We've had three very good clarifying comments. I am going to implore the members who noted this, if you can, please, just for the record, put the comments up and on the wiki. And if you would, if you can find some content, some wording, some script that reflects what the thinking is, it would be also good for you to include it in the comment, suitably identified, so that our writers actually see it. Thank you. Okay, so we've run out of comments in this area. Can we just take the last one for the final 5 minutes?
Sure.
This is the ineligibility criteria, and it's in the notes section, just on the financial need. If you scroll down in the notes section of the Adobe Room, you will see it in the notes window. And if you go to the PDF, you should see it, scroll down, you'll see it as well.
It's Alan. I put something in the note field, which we might be able to
I know that,
using.
Alan. I was just making a private chat to Seth to notice.
Yeah, I'm just commenting that we should, when that's captured, that might be the start of something that might say what we want to say.
Eric asks a pertinent question. In the series, he wanted to know if we should refer to the Gak Alak language in this area. Alan, you have your hand up?
I read over what I just wrote. I come up with a question. If someone says, I'm really capable of paying $90,000, but not more than that, are we going to reject them? Or are we going to give them less?
Good question, Alan.
Well, I think it comes down to the core of what we're trying to do here. Are we throwing away money because we've decided arbitrarily they will get 3/4, whether they like it or not?
Eric had a quick response. Rafik, you have your hand up, sir.
Carlton, just to finish, the point I was making is we have been saying that we shouldn't be doling out the money in bits and pieces, but if someone, in fact, says they don't need support, we should be willing to accept that.
I see what you mean, yes. Yes, it's slightly different, isn't it? Does anybody have any comment on Alan's comment, just before I go to Rafik?
Well, yes, I do. And rather
go
than
ahead, Eric.
I'll speak. Yeah, Alan, the if the applicant has more than the minimum stated ability to pay, that doesn't the total cost that we're attempting to support the applicant is not merely the fee, but the total cost. And so, if the applicant has more than 45, that's presumably some money that can be spent on other necessary costs to the applicant, not merely the application fee, which is also a necessary cost. Thank you very much.
Rafik, you have your hand up. You have the floor.
Thank you. Just a question. I think I heard the reference to the joint statement between the Iraq and the GAC.
Yes.
I think it's about government. Because I'm just trying to read this quickly, to narrow that to exclude only the national governments. But as I recall, we had a long discussion on that, and I'm not sure that we had the consensus. So I don't think that we can make any decision now at this stage, because knowing that some people were against any support to the application that backed by government. So just maybe to clarify that and.
Thank you, Rafik. I don't think it's a matter of looking consensus. I think Eric's point was that we should make reference to it, and we have space in the format of the document to say whether or not it has minority support and so on. So there is a way for us to at least recognize it and move from there. It's good, too, that you point out that there's no consensus on this. Avery, you have the floor.
Sorry, two things. One is I suggested a type of language that could be used, something like we're required at a minimum to pay blah, but we are also able to show an inability to pay the entire budget or the entire amount or whatever, so that we're saying that this is the minimum they have to be able to pay, but we're acknowledging that they might be able to show a budget, as Eric was saying, all things considered budget, that shows that, you know, maybe they can budget up to 75 given the resources they've got and everything else they have to pay. But so I think we could possibly get, you know, the people with who are doing the editing to sort of put in that kind of language might get there. On Rafiq's point about governments and localities, I tend to agree with Rafiq. I was one of the people that was pushing very hard on nothing that has a government of any sort should receive aid, and I think that we probably won't be able to change that consensus within this group, but I do think it's a good idea to say that, you know, we seriously consider, you know, that and perhaps even to do another specific consensus call on that issue so that we can all reconsider our position in the light of the joint statement. And the joint statement was trying to be careful to give some kind of language that maybe was fuzzy enough, you know, constructive ambiguity that would allow us to accept something that meets that need. Thanks.
Mm. Yep.
Hand down.
Thank you. Rafiq, I see you have the support of Cheryl in your suggestion. Rafiq, you have the stand up. This is going to be the last one. It's 12 past, and quite frankly, I am running late for a seminar. Rafiq, you have the floor, sir.
Yeah, thank you. So just to also to make that clear, that we take that this joint statement as clarification from the GAG, because if we remember that we asked them for more details a long time ago about this case, so we can consider that as response from the GAG, even if it's a joint statement between GAG and DALAC. So
absolutely, Rafiq. That's exactly how we were suggesting. I went one step further and said, okay, well, let's see if we need to have one more bite of the cherry to see if we can get a definitive answer from the team about consensus and otherwise. So that's where it was. I have to tell you that it's 13 past the hour. I am unfortunately committed to a seminar I'm a panelist on, and I'm actually running a little late. So I have to bring this call to an end. I thank all of you for showing up and putting in the good work. See you all next week. I would implore you, if you have substantive comments, do make the comments on the wiki. It makes it available for the drafters to see, and it allows us to focus on it. If you have specific language that you would wish to be employed in the text, please do make it suggested and make it clear that it is suggested language. I appreciate your help on this. Thank you all. See you next week. Goodbye.
Thanks, Carlton. Bye. Thanks also.